Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Tes, the ninth Perek. This is the point that Iyov is about to respond to his second friend Bildad. Bildad, in his frustration with Iyov, proclaims that God is good, and Iyov, by saying that suffering is happening to him by pure circumstance and chance, is denying the goodness of God. Remember that Bildad goes on to explain that ultimately he believes that the reason why Iyov is suffering is because there is some better good which is going to be accomplished at the end of the entire story. At the beginning of Bildad's speech, he questions the entire theory that Iyov's world is built on. And he says, and this is in Perek Ches, the Perek before, he says, Hakel ya'avet mishpat ve'im shaka ya'avet tzedek. Could it be that God perverts righteousness, that Hashem will pervert justice? It can't be, Iyov. How could you possibly believe that everything is circumstantial? Because by saying it's circumstantial, essentially what you're saying is that God isn't good and God is not just and fair. Now, remember that we also said that Iyov actually believes that the reason why he's suffering is just total circumstance because he tries to explain that God is good. Meaning Iyov does not deny God's goodness. He just also believes at the same time that he doesn't deserve to suffer. And if he's trying to put together his own righteousness and God's goodness, the only way that he can possibly explain those two things and have them coexist is by saying that God didn't give me that suffering. It came from someone else or somewhere else. And where did it come from? The mazals, the stars, the sun, the moon, etc. And Bildad's response to him in a more nuanced, sophisticated, philosophical sense, the Malbim explains, is really like this. Bildad is saying, it doesn't matter that you say it didn't come directly from God, it came from the stars. Essentially, if you're saying that a human being in this world experiences bad and doesn't deserve it, there is no way around it. What you're saying is that God is not fair. And even if you're telling yourself you're doing it in order to make God fair and make God good, it's not true. The fact that a God can allow a human being to suffer, even if you don't believe it came at the hands of God, it came at the hands of something else. If God can allow a human being to suffer when it is undeserved, then God is not fair, Iyov. So what you're doing is you're saying God is unfair. And Iyov in our Perek begins with a response to Bildad. And he says to Bildad, Amnam, Yadati Kikenu. He says, I know it's true. I agree with you that Hashem is righteous. I agree with you that God is good and that there is no such thing as lack of justice with God. Umayitzdok enosh imkel. A human being can't argue and debate God's righteousness. In other words, what he's really saying is, yes, I agree with you, Bildad, God is just. In fact, what I'm trying to say is that the reason why I'm suffering is random and God can still be just. How could that be? So he has two points that he makes in order to prove this point. What follows in the next couple psukim in Perek Tes is a description, and we're going to come back to understanding the point that Iyov's making through the lens of these psukim. It seems to be a description of the greatness of God. Right, Pasuk Gimel, Im yachpotz lariv emo, if you want to fight with God, lo ya'anenu, achat mina elef, no one has an answer to God's righteousness. I know God is good, and I know God is endlessly good. At the same time, what he's saying is like this. In Pasuk Hey, Iyov says, Hama'atik harim velo yada'u, asher hafcham ba'apo. Hashem, who moves mountains without their knowing, maybe the mountains knowing, or maybe the people on those mountains without them knowing, right? And she says, asher hafcham ba'apo, he overturns the mountains in his anger. The way that, for example, this can be read, Chazal actually pick up on this and say maybe these mountains that are being shook up and turned over is actually a reference to Sodom. And that's interesting because we know that in Bereishis, Hashem destroys the cities of Sodom and Amorah. And who is the person involved in that debate or that dialogue? That is Avraham Avinu. And one of the things we keep talking about is that there's a tremendous amount of Avraham imagery here. Now, when Hashem decides to destroy Sodom, Avraham debates with Hashem. Avraham himself says to Hashem, how could it be that you could do something so unfair? And here we hear almost word for word the same concept of what Eov is saying here. If you look in Bereishis, Perek Yod Ches, he says, Chalila lecha, how could you? Ma'asos kedavar hazeh, Avraham Avinu turns to Hashem and says, how could you do something so horrible? Lahamit tzaddik in Russia, to kill righteous people with wicked people. Vayakat tzaddik in Russia, you're treating righteous and wicked people equally without any justice, without any fairness. Exactly the same claim that Eov has, where he says, I'm at the whim of the stars, the sun, and the moon. So too, Avraham is saying to Hashem, you're making the wicked people and the righteous people suffer together. There seems to be a sense of injustice in the world. Chalilala, how could you judge the hashvet kol haaretz velo yaseh mishpat? How can you judge the whole world and not do that which is right and that which is just and fair? Rav Schwab explains that the reason why Avraham asks this question to Hashem is because two psukim before, Hashem himself almost invites Avraham to ask the question. Hashem says, Erda na ve'ereh, I will go down now and I will go see what's happening. I will go see if what I'm doing is fair, if what I'm doing is just. And at that point, he approaches Avraham, and Avraham asks and has this debate with Hashem. And Rav Schwab says maybe this Erdana ve'ereh is almost an invitation to Avraham Avinu to partake in a discussion of justice. Hashem says, I'm going down. I'm going to engage with the world. Erda means I permit you, Avraham, to ask this question. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this instance, it's as if he's coming down to the level of the human mind. And he's saying, now that I am down here in the same world, in the same frame as the human intellect, you can ask these questions. Eov has not been given the same invitation. Eov has not been given the opportunity by God to say, okay, let's talk it out. Why are you suffering? And maybe, and according to Rav Schwab, this is how he reads the psukim, what Eov is saying is that, Hashem, if you can't come down here like you did with Avraham Avinu and talk justice with me and explain to me how the world works, if you can't do that, then what's the point of suffering? If there's a message that I'm supposed to magically understand, but you haven't told me what that message is, if there is an insight that I'm meant to be coming to, which you haven't communicated to me, so what's the point of the suffering at all? Because I can't understand what you're trying to tell me. So therefore, my suffering is pointless. And Bildad, if you believe that my suffering is meant to bring a higher good, why hasn't God told me what that good is? I can't repent like Eliphaz thinks I could, because I don't know what I'm meant to repent for. And maybe this entire frustration of Eov is saying, God, what do you want from me? What is the outcome and why are you not communicating with me? The Malbim has a deeply philosophical take on this Pasuk Hey. The Malbim understands it as follows. We read Pasuk Hey as Hama'atik harim velo yada'o. Hashem moves mountains, but it is not known to him. Asher hafacham ba'apo, that he upturned them in his anger. The way that the Malbim reads it is that the thing that is unknown is Asher hafacham ba'apo, that he overturns them in his anger. What the Malbim is saying is that sometimes Hashem moves mountains and upturns mountains, but we don't know if that was done out of God's anger or if that was done by pure circumstance. And therefore, what he's saying here is not a demand, God, tell me, why would I not know what's happening? But rather a statement, I don't know what's happening. We just don't know. Sometimes Hashem can be good and bad things happen. And that's okay, Bildad. I know you're threatened by that philosophy, but Eov says, no, no. I believe that God can be good and bad things can happen. And why? Well, because the world is full of physical things, and physical things are by definition lacking, and sometimes mountains crumble, and science works the way that it does, and things fall apart, and stuff happens. What can you do? It doesn't necessarily mean that God is bad. It's just one of the characteristics of all of physical nature is that physical nature deteriorates. Philosophically, perhaps an unsatisfying answer, but let's see where Eov is going with this, because he has another point, and his other point is fascinating. His other point is as follows. He goes on in the Psukim to what seems to be to describe the great vastness of nature. And according to Rav Schwab, that's pretty much what he's doing here. He's saying, I know God is good and I know God is great. I'll tell you how good I know God is. Pasuk Zayin, Ha'omer lecheres v'lo yizrach yiv'ad kochavim yichtom. Hashem can command the sun not to shine. Hashem can seal up and close up stars. Noteh shamayim levado. He is the one who spreads out all of heaven. V'dorech al bimseyam. And he can spread out the oceans and walk on the edge of the oceans. Pasuk Tes is where he begins to describe constellations or different mazalos, which makes sense because remember, this is Eov's worldview, where he says, Ose ash ksil v'kima. These different types of ash, ksil, and kima are different types of important astrological constellations. V'chadre teiman and another type of a, maybe it's talking about a directional, maybe it's also talking about some sort of constellation. Ose gadolot anen mispar. Hashem does great things that are beyond measure. Say gadolot anen cheker, that are beyond human comprehension. Niflaot ad en mispar, and wonders beyond human ability to count. The Malbim says this counting is not just talking about, oh yes, I believe God is very great, but more specifically, what it's saying is that, remember, according to the Malbim, Eov is saying, I believe that the world can sometimes be bad and God is not bad. I'll tell you why. Sometimes Hashem can close up the sun. Ha'omer lacheres lo yizrach. Hashem can tell the sun not to shine. Uba'ad kochavim yichtom, and seal up the stars. But you know what, at the end of the day, when you look at that sun and you think, why would such a catastrophic tragedy happen? You should know that Hashem is noteh shamayim levado. Hashem is actually the master of all of heaven, the entire Milky Way. This little star and this little planet is minuscule compared to God, right? Oseh ash ksil v'chima. He made all of these constellations. He does gedolot ad en cheker, v'niflaot ad en mispar. He does so many, many incredible wonders. In other words, what he's saying, Eov, is like this, which is that you're right, that sometimes on a microcosmic level, a person can look at their tragedies and see them as terrible. But if you take a step back and see God is so much bigger than your little system of planets, or your little world, your little structure, your little family, your little, in the bigger scheme of things, God is good. And the reason why we look at the world and see it as bad is because we are honing in on a bad moment. But overall, life is good. Overall, God is good. Overall, the Milky Way is good. If you understand how infinitely large God is, then if you take the drop of bad that you're experiencing, it's a drop in the ocean, quite literally, and therefore it becomes irrelevant. Wildly difficult to comprehend worldview, but these two points together bring Eov to his clarity. He's saying, I believe God is good, and yet I believe that people still suffer. How do I make the two coexist? Number one, because all of physicality is at the end of the day physical, and therefore it experiences loss. And number two, I believe that God's goodness is infinite, and the bad is finite and limited, and it loses standing in light of all the infinite good. This is a very rational argument. It's a very rational argument, but maybe it's a rational argument being made by a person who seeks something much more than a rational argument. We said how there are answers of the head and answers of the heart. If we read this perek like the Malbim, we have deep dived into the world of the head, and what we're missing out on is the world of the heart, which is why he says in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, he says, if you see the world that way, then the world can be a land which is Eretz Nitna B'yad Rasha Upanei Shofteha Yechaseh. Hashem can give the world over into the hands of wicked people, and he covers the eyes of the judges and they don't notice what's going on. Im lo efo mihu. If it is not Hashem who's turning away and allowing injustice to happen, then who is it? The world stinks. Bad stuff really happens. And yes, God is the one allowing it to happen. And that doesn't make me any less faithful to God. And at the same time, he ends in a state of real tragedy, this perek. In Pasuk Lamed Beis, he says, Kilo ish kamoni e'enenu. I wish I could talk to God, but God is not a man like me. Navo yachdav b'mishpat. I wish I could bring God to justice. I wish I could bring him to court and talk to him, but I wouldn't be able to give my good, brilliant arguments, which I'm giving to you, Bildad, and giving to you, Eliphaz, If I were to stand before God himself, you know what happened? What would happen? Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Lo yesh beinenu mochiach. There won't be anyone who'd be willing to stand and be the judge in court between me and God. Yashet yado al shenenu, who'd be willing to put these hands out between us. And if there was, then yaser me'alai shifto ve'emato al tavateni. I wish that God would remove my fear from me so that I would be able to tell him what I believe and what I think. Eov, at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, despite all of his brilliant philosophical ponderings, he turns around and he says, I wish I could have my day in court with God. But if I did, I wouldn't be able to verbalize what I'm thinking and what I'm saying because I'm so scared of Hashem. Adabra velor enu ki lo ken anochi imadi. I would talk to God and if I could only talk to God and not be afraid, if I could only talk to God and not break up with trembling, but I can't because I am me and God is beyond me and I am scared. And we spoke about this last time when we said that he's a Yarei Elokim. He's afraid of Hashem. He doesn't see God as relatable to him. And he is so eloquent in justifying God's righteousness. But ultimately what he's truly missing, what he's truly craving, is a relationship with Hashem. And he hopes for that. And what's so interesting is that, and I'll finish with this, in Lamed Beis when he says, Ki lo ish kamoni e'enenu, God is not a man like me that I could answer him. Ultimately, at the end of the three friends, a fourth friend comes in named Elihu. And Elihu says to Eov, I'll be that relatable human being who can represent God for you, that you don't have to break up and tremble in fear, and you don't have to be eloquent and vocal and deeply philosophical. You can just be real. And what Hashem wants from you maybe is not your deep philosophical ponderings. What Hashem wants from you is what you want from Hashem, which is kirvas Elokim litov, being close to God. But you're denying that because of your philosophical perspectives. And that's something which is going to become more and more apparent throughout the Sefer, is not just that Eov is emotionally immature, perhaps, but more than that, he's leaning so deeply on that he's missing out on the vulnerability that should come hand in hand with it. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nach Yomi Chavruta in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael Verachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.